Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Now, a widespread public appeal for information was launched after seven Frisian heifers were discovered missing from the Troy family farm near Clochjordan on Saturday morning. But on Sunday night, the livestock were discovered 3 miles from where they were taken, with signs that they were dropped off from a trailer. Now, it's the second such theft incident recently, after 11 calves were taken from the farm of George Clark at Ballochmore near Rosgrave just 2 weeks ago. North Tipperary Irish Farmers Association Chair is Imelda Walsh, and Imelda is with me. Good morning to you, Imelda.
Good morning, Fran.
And good to talk to you today. This is rather concerning, Imelda, isn't it?
Hugely concerning, Fran. The fact that we've had two such incidents in the recent weeks is alarming. It is very, very worrying. It's hugely concerning because I suppose before Christmas, Fran, there have been quite a number of sheep that have been stolen in the Wicklow area at the time. And look, the sheep obviously had gotten very, very expensive, and that was the reason behind it. I suppose it was easier maybe find a home for sheep than it is to find a home for calves or cattle or anything else of that nature, Fran. Hugely concerning. But fair play to Keelan. He put out a fantastic appeal there at the weekend on social media and on the print media and on yourselves on the radio. And it took off. The traction it got on Twitter, on Facebook, was absolutely phenomenal. I put it up on our own North Tipperary IFA WhatsApp group as well at the weekend. So it was shared far and wide. And the pressure was really on whoever took those animals, because the animals, as the saying goes, Fran, became too hot to handle. Because suddenly everybody, the spotlight was so much shone on them. Is any activity that was happening, people were focused into it. It's hugely concerning though, Fran. And I suppose, look, it's in reality, whoever took the animals, it's the people that maybe were going to buy those animals from them. Like, there has to be people complicit in relation to be disposing of those animals, because in most cases, whoever takes them is only just the middleman, and they intend getting a home someplace else for them. And obviously, look, with the cattle and the ear tags and the cattle identity cards, you would expect they should be impossible to move. But
yeah, will you explain that to us, Imelda? For those of us outside of farming, we presume that cattle are tagged and that it would be very difficult to be able to sell them on in some way. What's happening?
What's happening? Obviously, I don't know how they're actually coming over the cattle identity card part of it, because every animal, when they're born, they're tagged. They get two tags and they're registered. So they have a cattle identity card, which is basically a passport. And everything you want to do with that animal, the passport is needed to go with it. Like, whether you're selling it as a calf at the mart or as an older animal, either to the mart or to the factory, that animal's passport has to go with that animal. So it's in that sense, you'd wonder how they were going to manage that, because I suppose, they'd obviously have to change the tags of those animals, because those animals will be on the system as being stolen. So wherever they go with them, they will show up with the red flag would be up in relation to them. But it's even to getting the cattle identity cards, that it would take a lot of people being complicit in relation to this to allow it to happen. It shouldn't happen, because like most people, like an animal will lose a tag out of their ear, and that's common enough. But it is quite unusual for an animal to lose two tags.
Right.
So like, so if I go and I'm ordering two replacement tags from whether it's Cormac Tagging or Mullinahone or whoever will send that order goes through the department. It has to be authorised by them. And obviously, if you're somebody that's constantly ordering two replacement tags for an animal, it does raise a red flag within the department. And look, it's most likely you will end up with an inspection in relation to it. But obviously, Fran, they have to find a home. So what I would be saying is, like, to farmers out there, somebody's approaching you selling stock, and you're a little bit suspect in relation to the origin of those animals, or the passports are going to raise alarm bells with the farmer, because obviously if something isn't, if everything isn't up in the original transaction, it has to cause alarm and concern.
And has this been going on regularly, Imelda, or is it only in the last while we've noticed it because it's happening in the county? But I mean, because for instance, I was reading today in the farming section of the Indo that there's rustling going on in Donegal, for example. But I mean, is this common?
It has become far more common recently. I suppose the price of stock has gone up significantly. I suppose always in Donegal, the fact of the border up there, there's always been a bit of rusting up there because of its proximity to Northern Ireland and the movement of stock. There's always been issues, I suppose, in the north in relation to that type of activity in the past. But say down here, it's a relatively new phenomenon. As I say, a few sheep. Before Christmas, quite a lot of sheep, because sheep become very, very expensive, were stolen. And as well as that, friend, like many farmers have farms that are a bit away from their house, maybe 5 or 10 kilometres out farms, where there would be cattle crushes on those, we'll say, for, you know, loading stock or for moving stock and everything else. And so it's responsibility in all of us, I suppose. Look, if we're out walking or whatever, we're saying that more people have been out walking during the pandemic. And look, if you do see things or somebody, you know, a little bit suspicious, and if you did see something suspicious, just even maybe to ring the farmer in question that you saw maybe activity around his out farm, or contact on Garda Síochána corner, will say that, just say, look at, and they do welcome this kind of information, because it is getting hugely concerning. Like George Clark, I know George as well as Keelan, and it's hugely upsetting for the farmers in question. But like, media has been fantastic, in particular, I suppose, the technology now, Fran, it gets the information out there so quickly. The amount of sharing of Keelan's story at the weekend across Facebook, across Twitter, yourselves, with the Farming Independent, the Farmers Journal and Agriland, it was phenomenal. And it was, everybody was aware of it, we'll say that. So it certainly shot a huge spotlight on it, Fran.
And this is a very positive use of social media, it's important to point out, I suppose, Imelda, as well. Talk to me about something else, because I see, again, in the section of the Indo Today that deals with farming, that the MOCRA president-elect, John Keane, he is saying that if farming doesn't provide an attractive situation for young people, we will lose them off the land completely. Would you go along with that, Emily?
Yes, Bran, I would concur with that 100%. We're losing far too many of our young people, because it's for many sectors to make a viable living is almost impossible. In particular, we say in the beef, sheep and tillage sectors, it's becoming more and more difficult to make a living that allows you to stay a full-time viable farming. Obviously, dairying is more attractive. But having said that, Fran, when you take the labour costs out of, like Chagas every year do, they bring out their monitor in relation to what the different sectors make.
Yes.
And dairying is always up there. But Chagas are excluding labour, the farmer's own labour, from that. So the 12 or the 14 hours that I've been working on my farm, that labour is excluded completely. We say there's no account taken for the farmer's own work. That's, you know, like 60,000, but anybody in a job would possibly be getting 30 or 40,000 euros a year anyway. And that needs to come off of that. And then your bottom line is quite small. Like John is 100% right. But I even saw that, Fran, over the last number of years when I'd been on the continent on holidays, the amount of land abandonment, and been advised that younger people, they're going away, they're going to the towns and cities, they're getting jobs. And plus, as well as that, Fran, the hours that are needed on a farm are making it unattractive for young people. Like, you're talking about, say, you know, in dairy in particular, from maybe 6 o'clock in the morning until 6 in the evening, and that's 7 days a week for 9 or 10 months of the year, we say, once cows are milking. And for many of them, as regards, we see they see their friends and they're finished on a Friday evening and they're off for the weekends, they're off for the bank holiday. Like, a bank holiday meant nothing to a farmer yesterday, other than that we were delighted to see the rain. That's all the bank holiday meant.
You were the only person delighted to see the rain.
Also, exactly, Fran. I accept that completely. My line of washing wanted to see the sunshine, but the cows wanted the rain, and that was it. But John is 100% right. And look, I suppose the cost of input has gone through the roof and everything else. It's coming much harder. Like, you're running faster to stand still, and that is not sustainable. And it's even like the whole, we say, environment and all of the things coming at us and all of these measures. And farmers won't be found wanting in addressing those. But the money, you have to get paid for doing all of these measures. There's more and more being expected of the farmer for less and less. And we see all of this even in relation to the climate action bill and all of those things. We actually even see there now over the weekend in relation to the carbon tax and the cost of diesel, which will impact ultimately on the price of your silage being substantially higher, the price of your plastic to cover that silage higher again, we're saying that. And for our output not improving in price. Now, this year prices are better, but having said that, it is sucked up by the cost of your input.
Just finally, if I could, some good news. You'll be able to return to the March Ring on the 17th, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. Which is absolutely brilliant, because many of our older farmers in particular, like, look, they're not au fait with the smartphone and the bidding online. Then they miss that whole side of it. We're saying that, like, being able to go into the ring and see the cattle. Like, it was great to have the technology. It was brilliant.
And in fairness, lots of farmers did embrace it and it worked for them, Imelda. Yeah.
They did, yeah. And IFAC actually carried out a survey there recently where 70% of farmers said that they would continue it online, with saying that. Mm. But our older farmers in particular, and like all of those, thankfully, have been vaccinated. So look, at it, for them, it's a safer environment to go back in. But obviously, the whole social distancing, like March rings are quite big in the main. So that they will be able to go back in again. And I'm sure, I always said the hybrid system of online trading in conjunction with the ring was the ideal scenario. So I think it is welcome. But finally, it's welcome to see things starting to open up for people and more services for everybody, whether it's farming or whether it's for, you know, business or for whatever. We're saying that it is wonderful to see things starting to open up again. And hopefully,
isn't it great? Imelda, it's always a pleasure, Imelda. Thank you for your time this morning. Thank you. And bye-bye to you now. Bye-bye. That's Imelda Walsh there. Imelda, frequent contributor to the show, and North Tipperary IFA chairperson.